Glad to be here this morning. Amen. If you're glad you're saved, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Glad we're saved today. Glad the Lord's watching over me. Glad the Lord's watching over me. If you got your Bibles, I'll be coming out of John chapter 6.
Amen.
John chapter 6.
Listen, Jesus.
Starting at verse 59. I'll start my reading here in just a minute. But I'd like to brag on the Lord this morning.
Yeah,
for all He's done for me. You know, He's blessed me and with a beautiful family over there.
Amen.
And my newborn son, he just turned 5 months old this month. Amen. And he's already setting up. Every time he puts a pasty in his mouth, he takes it back out. So he's all kind of doing all that mischief stuff already. But I'm glad that the Lord always shows up right on time.
Amen. Yeah.
He shows up right on time. Robbie had asked me this morning, "Do you still plan on preaching?" I said, "Yeah." I said, "I do, but you need to pray for me. The Lord ain't let me latch on nothing this week. Being at home, being a full-time dad, keeping up with a baby, he touched me on my toes, and that leaves very little room for study time like I'd like to have.
Yeah.
A lot of times my study time is just pondering maybe a scripture or two I've read through the week, or maybe on the Sunday, or the message that had been preached. But God, I was downstairs last night studying, trying to find something that maybe the Lord would nudge me on. I couldn't really find nothing. I got up and started pacing downstairs in my little study area there.
That's
started talking to the Lord, started thinking about things. And finally I had to say, "Well, Lord, you got it. It's in your hands." Had to shut the book up because so many times, you try to force something, and you just have diminishing returns. It just keeps getting worse and you can't accomplish nothing by it. So I decided, Lord, I'm just going to trust you, leave it in your hands. And I decided to sleep a little bit on it this morning as we headed down here. I open my Bible again. Melissa drives on Sunday morning most of the time. That gives me a little time to study. And as I was studying, I come across some bookmarks that I had laid out that the Lord had given me some scripture on. Couldn't really feel much on them. And then one come across, that I bookmarked, and the Lord kind of started working with me on that. So, down about Rickman Highway, the Lord gave him a message, And I'm glad the Lord shows up right on time. You just leave it in God's hands. He knows what to do with it. We just leave it in His hands. God knows how to take care of things. He knows how to fix things up the way they need to be fixed up. Sometimes there's an old story about a boy who tries to tie a shoe. And his daddy says, "Let me just tie it for you and take care of it." And the boy keeps grabbing the shoe away from him, and he gets it in all kinds of knots. Finally, he realizes that he can't do nothing with that old shoe, and he has to take it back to dear old dad. And then when he finally gives it over to dad, dad can do some work with that shoe and do it the right way. A lot of times we're like that little old child, "Lord, I can do it. Just give it to me." And we make all kinds of mess out of it. But I've learned over the years just to give it to the Lord. That'll save me a lot of headache down the road.
Amen.
Listen to what the Lord gave me this morning. John chapter 6. Start at verse 59, like I said. It said, "These things said he," talking about Jesus, "in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, 'This is an hard saying, who can hear it?'" "When Jesus knew in himself that his disciple murmured at it, he said to them, 'Does this offend you? What and if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before?" "It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing, but the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. There are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who it was, who they were, that believed not, who should betray him." Now, he had just finished talking about them, about eating of his flesh and drinking of his blood. And they said, "This is a hard saying. Who can receive that?" We don't understand what he means here. And Jesus basically told them, "Well, if this is hard, how are you going to be able to handle it when you see the Son of Man ascending where he was?" If you can't get this, how are you going to be able to handle that? And he begins to talk about, as he always does, Jesus begins to explain a little bit about what that kind of parable or that symbolism means. He says, "The words I speak to you, the Spirit quickeneth. The Spirit is what gives life." And he says, "The flesh profiteth nothing." This is not a fleshly thing. You're not going to physically take of my body and eat. You're not going to physically drain me of my blood and drink it. He's talking about spiritual things. And he begins to bring that out. He says that the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life.
Amen.
The thought that the Lord just put on my heart earlier this morning was when he speaks. When he speaks. I want you to think about that this morning. He said the spirit quickeneth. He's talking about the spirit of the inner man, that it's a living thing. He's not talking necessarily about the Holy spirit. Amen. Here he's talking about the spirit within a man is what gives us life. Amen. Hey, God in the beginning, when he created man, he breathed into man a living soul. Breathed into his nostrils. And he became a living soul, it says. Now we're composed of body, soul, and spirit. Soul and spirit are two different things. Amen. My cat at home has a spirit, but it does not have a soul. Amen. It's not going to go to heaven like I am one day after a while. Now, we know that the lion will lay down with the lamb, and the babe will put his hand on the cockatrice's den and not be hurt. But that's talking about the millennial reign. That's talking about while we're still here on earth, while animals are here. But they do not have an eternal soul like me and you do. Mankind is the only thing that God has placed an eternal soul inside of the body. Amen.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
But he says, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. He's saying the spirit's what gives life. It quickens us. Amen. Yeah. All things that have a spirit are alive. Amen. But he says here, the words that I speak are what gives you life. Amen. Amen. The words that I speak causes you to live.
Amen.
Amen. The words give you life. The words cause you, amen, to have life within yourself. Amen. And I believe, you know, I'm thinking about Hebrews over there where it talks about in chapter 4, I believe it's verse 12, says the word of God is powerful, it's quick, sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing into the sunder of the spirit and soul and the joints of the marrow. Amen. He talks about the word of God is alive.
Amen.
It is something that is living. This is not just any ordinary book. Amen. Every time I go back to read it, I always find something new. That's because it's alive.
Yeah.
It is something, amen, that is alive. Through the Spirit of God, we understand it. He's the interpreter thereof. And Jesus said the very words of, I speak unto you, are alive.
Amen. Yes.
Bible tells us, I'm thinking it's over in Colossians somewhere, where it talks about this, that everything was made by Him, and nothing that was made was not made without Him. Amen.
Right, brother.
When He began to speak things into life at the beginning, He said, let us make man. He said, amen, let there be light. Let this happen, let that happen. Let all manner of four-footed beasts creep on the ground. And all the fowls of the air, let them come forth out of the waters. And all these different things we see in Genesis, amen. His words cause life. When God speaks, a life happens, amen.
Yeah. Amen.
When He speaks, life occurs.
Amen.
Amen. And that's why it's so important that we have His Word, we read His Word, because it causes something in our spirit to awaken up, to revive, amen, and to come alive, amen.
Come,
I don't know about you, but I can be damned. Sometimes I don't feel like doing nothing, not even cracking open the Word of God.
Yeah.
But every time I do, without fail, something inside stirs in me.
Right.
Just like Jeremiah said, it was like a fire shut up in his bones.
Right.
And he had to get it out. There was something kindling inside and quickening inside, because the words that God speaks are life. And they are spirit themselves.
Praise the Lord. Yes, sir.
Praise the Lord. I feel Him in you this morning.
Amen.
Amen. One of the things He said while He was here on this earth, amen, was peace be still.
Yeah.
You see, when God speaks and when Jesus speaks, amen, the waves have to be still.
Amen.
Psalms over there, I always forget where it is. It's like 77, somewhere around in there. It says He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still.
Yeah.
Only God can calm the waves.
Ah, brother.
I've seen people out there just recently on TV, deep sea fishing, and them waves just get boisterous, and they're trying to bring the fish in. I think about the disciples, and I think about them in that storm over in Mark chapter 4, in verse 35, it begins to tell us about this story. When Jesus, amen, was going in the midst of the sea with the disciples, it says the same day when the evening was come, He said unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. When they had sent away the multitude, they took Him even as He was in the ship. And there are also with Him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full.
That's
He was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake Him and say unto Him, Master, carest not that we perish? Don't you care about us?
Yeah.
And He arose and rebuked the wind, and He said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. He said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Amen.
Yeah.
They feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey Him? I'll tell you what manner of man that is. He's the one that made the sea. He's the one that made the water. He's the one that made the ship they were on. Amen. The very wood the ship was made of. He made the trees that built that ship. When he was laid in a manger, he made the wood. The carpenter himself made the wood that the manger was made of. And believe it or not, the cross that he was hung on was made of the tree that God made in the beginning.
Right, brother.
When he speaks, the world has to listen.
Right, brother.
When he speaks, the world has to obey.
Right, brother.
A lot of times we get all up in arms about ourselves, about things that's going on in the government and things that's going on in world events.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you what, if you read on Ezekiel chapter 38 and 39, you'll hear about the war of Gog and Magog and how God tells them, I put a hook in your jaw and you're doing exactly what I'm telling you to do. God's got his plan and his ways in this world. And what he says goes because everything in it was made by him, and there wasn't nothing this world made that wasn't made by him.
Amen,
when he speaks, the waves and the winds have to be still.
Right.
The winds and the storms in your life, they have to calm down.
Yeah.
They have to cease. Amen. A lot of times it's hard to hear the Lord's voice sometimes. I think of old Elijah down there in the mountain, in the cave. He was when he ran from Jezebel. He had just got done defeating the 450 prophets of Baal.
Come on, brother.
Amen. Jezebel sent out to be pagans and to do different things that the Lord did not approve of.
Mm-hmm.
Here he was running for his life because she had threatened him, saying, as these 450 prophets were, so your head will be like by the end of this day.
Bam,
he took off running. He'd forgotten already the God that had delivered them prophets in his hand. Much like the Sunday school lesson last week, they forgot about the 5,000 that were fed.
Right.
So easy it is to forget how God works and how powerful he is. But amen, Elijah found himself in the cave just by himself, feeling sorry for himself.
Yeah.
All of a sudden we feel that we hear of a great wind coming about. Amen, but God was not in the wind. We hear of a great earthquake happen.
Yeah.
God wasn't in the earthquake, and there's even a fire, I believe.
Yeah.
And God wasn't in the fire, but after all the wind and everything ceased and everything was calm.
That's right, brother.
After God spoke to those things, peace be still.
Right, brother.
We hear a still, small voice.
Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
Coming through the midst of that.
Thank you, Lord.
Sometimes everything's got to be still.
Yeah.
It's got to be quiet.
Amen.
For us to hear the Lord.
That's true, brother.
Amen. He told them in Exodus chapter 14, when they were getting ready to cross the Red Sea.
Yeah.
He said, be still and know that I am God.
Yeah.
When he speaks, things have to be still. Amen. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and they know me, and another they'll not follow.
Yeah.
Amen. I'm glad I know God's voice. Amen. I don't know if I've ever heard him speak audibly to me, but I can feel him in my spirit.
Right.
I can feel him in my heart.
Right.
Whenever he speaks to me, I know it.
Right.
And I know if it's from him, and I know if it's not from him.
Amen.
And if I have to question it, I've got the ultimate authority right here.
Amen.
To back it up with.
Amen.
To test it against. That's why John said,
yes,
try the spirit to see whether they be of God.
Yeah. Amen. Yes, sir. Bless him, Lord.
And those spirits he was talking about was spirits of men, too.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't talking about demonic things. I read that the other day, and that just opened up to me because he was talking about false prophets.
Yeah.
He was saying, you know, if a man, the spirit of a man, try that spirit. Does he line up with God's word?
That's right, brother.
When he speaks, peace has to occur.
Yes, amen. Thank you.
When he speaks, the dead listen.
Come on, brother. Come on.
I'm reminded of John, chapter 11. We find about Lazarus.
Yeah.
Who had died. He was sick. And about 4 days later, Jesus arrived on the scene.
Right, brother.
By then, he had passed. He'd been dead 4 days. Mary and Martha, they said, by now he stinketh.
Yeah.
They said, I know that you'll raise him up in the last day. And Jesus had to set him straight. He said, I am the resurrection.
Yeah.
In the life. Me. Not some future event.
Yeah.
Me. Jesus saw them weeping. John chapter 11, verse 33, when Jesus saw her weeping, talking about Mary here, the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in his spirit and was troubled. He said, where have you laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? They saw the miracles. They knew what he could do. They knew what he was capable of.
Right.
Jesus, therefore, again groaning in himself, come to the grave.
Yeah.
It was a cave and a stone lay upon it. Didn't even have a proper burial site.
Bless you, Lord.
Jesus said, take you away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days.
Yeah.
Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldst believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me.
Yeah.
And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they might believe that thou hast sent me. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with great clothes, and his face was bound with a napkin. Jesus said to him, them, loose him, let him go. When he speaks, the dead listen. When he speaks, the dead come to life. Amen. They tell us in the last days here, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we talk about call in the church the rapture of the church.
Yeah,
the great catching up, the great gathering together unto Him. Amen. One day after a while, and I believe it'll be soon, amen, Jesus is going to step out on the cloud just as He went away. They said they see Him appearing the same way. We're going to see Him step out on the cloud. Amen. And He's the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God is going to sound. And He'll say, come up hither, and I believe somehow every one of our names will be called. We'll hear our name, and He'll say, come forth out of the graves. And those that are alive and remain will not prevent them which are asleep. But we'll be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye.
Yes.
Amen. And we'll be so shall we ever be with the Lord, caught up with Him in the air. When He speaks, one day after a while, the graves are going to have to burst open.
Right,
we're going to have to hear His voice.
Right, brother. That's good.
See, God's voice is all powerful. By God's word, this world was created.
Right.
Not by evolution, not by millions of years, not by cavemen and dinosaurs back in the day. I believe dinosaurs existed, but not exactly the way they say it. Amen.
Right, exactly.
You see, if millions of years have to occur between dinosaurs and man, that means death had to come before sin.
That's right.
That don't add up.
Come on, that's right.
Death came by man.
That's right, exactly.
Man and dinosaurs coexisted. Man. God created all of them at the same time.
I believe that. Yes, sir. I believe it.
You can look up at two resources I really recommend for that. One of them is Answers in Genesis. They're the ones behind the Ark in Kentucky.
Amen.
Answers in Genesis built that thing. They're behind all that.
Right.
They're creationists. They're all about the Word of God.
Mm-hmm. True.
And another guy's name is Kent Hovind. He's one of my favorites.
Yeah.
He's another creationist scientist.
Yeah,
amen.
True.
He's disproven many times about the theory of evolution and how things actually came about in the beginning of the world.
True.
But God's voice made all this.
Yeah.
And Psalm 29 tells us exactly about God's voice. I'm going to read this whole song.
Yeah, come on.
It's very short. It says, it's the power of God's voice. Let me tell you what happens when He speaks. It says, Psalm 29, start of verse 1. Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of His holiness. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. Here we hear in Genesis talking about how the Spirit of God moved on the face of the waters.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 4, the voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars, yea, the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. He maketh them also to skip like a calf, Lebanon and Sirion like a young unicorn.
Mm-hmm.
The voice of the Lord divideth the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness. The Lord shaketh the wilderness of Kadesh.
Amen.
The voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calve and discovereth the forests. And in His temple doth everyone speak of His glory.
Amen.
The Lord sitteth upon the flood. Yea, the Lord sitteth king forever. The Lord will give strength unto His people. The Lord will bless His people with peace.
Yes.
I like that where it said the voice of the Lord is powerful.
Yeah, good, brother.
The voice of the Lord is full of majesty.
Yeah, good, brother.
You see, we have loved ones we hear about. We hear about death claiming.
Right,
amen. And I'm glad that the Bible tells us the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. He's going to have his day one day after a while.
Right.
Amen. But still the voice of the Lord is the extreme authority. Amen.
Right,
God is the extreme authority of everything that takes place. Yes, it's appointed to man wants to die after this, the judgment. Amen. It goes on to say that so as is appointed a man once to die, then Christ was once offered, amen, to bear the sins of many.
Yeah.
Amen. And yes, we're all going to face death. Those that don't, God don't come after in the rapture and claim for his own, we're all going to see the grave one day after a while. But thank God to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
We read of Lazarus here again. I don't know if it's a different Lazarus. I tend to believe it might be the same one. Maybe years after he had been resurrected, he came to a point in his life where he was poor and neglected, and he sat outside of a rich man's gate. Amen. And when Lazarus came to his end, we find that the angels carried him into the bosom of Abraham.
Amen.
When he died, he was not still there in the coffin. He was not still there in the grave. Amen. He was carried away, amen, to be with the Lord.
Amen, brother. It's good.
God has the ultimate authority. His voice, when he speaks, things happen.
Yes, thank you,
Jesus. Amen. We see things happening around us right now. We begin to worry about it, but I encourage you, friends, don't be worried about it.
Come on, preacher.
Because God's going to have the last word.
That's right.
Amen. God's going to speak one day after a while, and everything is going to be taken care of. Mm-hmm. And we just have to believe, and just like Abraham, who saw the promises from afar off and didn't get to partake of those just yet, I believe we're the generation, we're those that's going to be able to see these promises fulfilled. Amen. We won't have to wait as long as they did. Amen. We just keep holding on and keep doing good and keep doing and keep being about the Father's business and about the Shepherd's work. And we'll see God set things right one day after a while.
Brother, that's right.
Our business is to follow the voice of the Lord.
That's good, brother.
And listen when He speaks.
Yes, sir.
When He speaks, we need to listen. Mm-hmm. Whatever it is He tells us to do, we need to do.
True.
Amen. Mary, when He was at the marriage supper of Cana, Mary told them when they went and ran out of their wine, she told the servants, whatever He saith, do.
Yeah.
I encourage you, friends, this morning, whatever Jesus saith, that do.
Yeah.
Listen to His voice when He speaks. I've cleared my heart this morning.
Good preaching, brother.
Man, if everybody that could, it would stand. Brother Don, come up here and get us a song.
Good preaching, brother.
Amen. I've enjoyed this morning's service. Still got more to come. Amen.
Amen.
But wait, there's more.
Yeah.
I'm glad there's more in the Lord. Amen.
Yeah, that's right.
Have you been listening to His voice? Or have you been ignoring His voice?
Mm-hmm.
That's only between you and God to know. As He sings, if you have a need, this altar is open.
Yeah. Amen.